This oral history is brought to you with the support of Guttman students and staff and funded by the American Council of Learned Societies and the Mellon Foundation. Enjoy.
Hello, my name is Elian Florencio, and today's date is April 14th of 2021, and today I'll be interviewing my best friend, Elvira Sekovic.
Hello, this is me answering Elian's questions.
So, we'll start with the first question. What was it like to be home so often?
I didn't really mind being home so often as I like my house. I like the people in my house, so it was just nice. Just got to relax, just spend time at home. But obviously after a while it got boring, so there's not much you could do.
How did it impact you socially, mentally, and emotionally?
It impacted me socially as I couldn't see my friends or like close family, like cousins and stuff. Mentally, not much really. I kept doing basically the same things. I would continue to play sports, hang out with my family time to time, and eventually see my friends. And emotionally, not really. It was just regular. It just was really boring sometimes. That's really it.
How did COVID-19 impact your family?
COVID-19 hasn't really affected my family, fortunately. Yeah, that's all really I got to say about that one.
Are you taking the vaccine for COVID-19 and why?
I'll say yes, but not now. I'm going to wait a little bit until it's more established, if you know what I mean by that, until more people have gotten it, until I feel safe getting it, or until what I need to get it for any specific thing.
Do you think that COVID had a huge impact on minorities or not?
Do I think that COVID has had a huge impact in minorities? Minority communities? I'll say yes, because perhaps someone in someone's house has gotten COVID and they just can't go. They don't have anywhere to go. They just have to stay and take care of them or something. Or they've just had a hard time, like everyone else, mostly. I feel like they might have had a harder time with the lack of resources. As most people, when COVID started, they just went back to their hometown or whatever. But many people don't have anywhere else to go other than their home. So yeah, that was another thing that I was, that I noticed early on, that I figured that many people would have a hard time with COVID, no matter what the color of your skin is, if you're a minority or not.
How has COVID-19 affected your family? Has the pandemic changed your short and long-term strategies? How?
COVID-19 hasn't really, or it has actually affected me financially. I've got a job during this, so it's pretty good. It hasn't really changed my short and long-term strategy. I'm going to continue to stay in school, going to continue to work when I have time. And yeah, I'm going to continue to do all the things I've been doing.
Do you have any plans in the future once they open back the stores?
I don't really have any plans in the future once they open back stores. Perhaps to apply to a different job at a store that I like. Perhaps a sports store or whatever.
How do you think the world will change when we come out of the pandemic?
I think a lot of people are going to appreciate the world for what it is. I felt like before, because we never really had a situation like this, many people would just sort of brush everyday things aside and just think they were like, oh, whatever, like going to school, like, oh, I don't want to go to school. Now, many people, including myself, would love to go to school, and hopefully that's something in the near future. But yeah, I think people will be much more appreciative of whatever's going on and much more cautious about their health.
How do you think the government handled the COVID crisis?
How do I think the government handled the COVID crisis? I don't know. I can't really say it's the best they could have done after we've been hearing more and more stuff about Cuomo. But also, it's hard to say how someone would have dealt with the situation, because it was just thrown upon them, like, so suddenly. And yeah, really, that's all I could say. It's hard to say how the government handled it, because myself, I couldn't have handled it any better. Like, really. I can't say that they did a bad job, because it's not like I could have done better. But I felt like there's many things that could have been handled better, such as the nursing home situation. But other than that, I really have nothing else to say.
So, transmitting to Black Lives Matter movement, and I'll start with the first question. Do you remember where you were? And what are your thoughts when you heard about Eric Garner's murder?
Do I remember where I was and what you thought about when you heard about Eric Garner's murder? I remember where I was, but I remember it was a big deal. Because I believe, like, before that, New York hadn't really had a problem with police brutality. And, like, me and my family were just shocked about this situation. Because, yeah, it really hasn't... Or it was always there in the U.S., but nothing as wide scale and as, like, clearly shown as Eric Garner's, which was really unfortunate. So, yeah.
Do you think history of race and racism in the United States impacts the BLM movement in what ways?
I believe it does. I believe that it splits sides. Many people from both black and white, whichever one you are, have a hard time trusting each other. I feel like during this entire situation with Trump, with BLM and everything, it's caused a bigger divide. It's obviously a good cause. It's spreading the fact that Black Lives Matter. But many people combat that all lives matter. But obviously they do, but the emphasis is put on Black lives, as they were obviously put at such a risk at one time.
In your opinion, how has BLM shifted the culture?
I mean, it depends which culture we're talking about. I feel like it helped a lot of people become more representative of themselves, become a bigger representative of themselves in their community. They're more proud of who they are. They understand who they are better. But yeah, that's all I gotta say on that one.
How do you explain the looting and destructions of property that took place during the protests?
I feel like a lot of that wasn't done by people that support BLM. I feel like most of that was done by people who just found that as an excuse to loot, to get free stuff. But even if the people were looting, I understand the struggle of the people who own that business. But it's them causing destruction of property. Like, enough is enough. They need to prove a point. So that's just one of the ways they prove the point. If people think it's correct or not, it's up to them. But that's the way they prove the point. I'm sure they did by that.
How do you explain folks who respond to BLM with All Lives Matter?
I feel like it's very stupid. We should all know that all lives matter. But right now, in that moment of time, about a year ago, we were putting the emphasis on black lives because enough was enough. Too many innocent people were dying, so we need to spread the message that black lives matter.
Is there anything else about anti-racist uprising you'd like to share?
Is there anything else about the anti-racist uprising you need to share? I feel like they're pretty stupid. Can't really say anything else. I just feel like this shouldn't be a problem in the first place with black lives. Like, BLM shouldn't be a thing because everyone should acknowledge that they matter. And none of these situations should have escalated the way they did to cause this.
Do you think we will still have more protests about BLM in the future?
Do you think we still have more protests about BLM in the future? Yeah, of course, until everything's completely equal. Which is a hard thing because, as we've learned, it's a systematic thing that cannot be solved so quick. So that's another unfortunate thing. That as much as people continue to protest, it's not going to be done until the entire system is changed, which people are very stubborn to change that, unfortunately.
Has BLM movement made a change on society? And if not, why?
I'd say it has, yeah. It's made people more aware about the injustice that happens around the world. Especially around the world. The U.S. had, I feel, the biggest problems, but I can't speak for everyone. And I live in the U.S., so I'm going to be more accustomed to the problems in the U.S. But I've heard there was a lot of protests in France as well. That was a big place that had a lot of protests. Yeah, but I feel it's made a change on society as people are more aware about the injustices going on and how how black people all over the world are treated unfairly, which is, again, as I said before, a very unfortunate thing.
Explain to me why you think these anti-racist protests erupted.
Why do I think anti-racist protests erupted? I feel like these protests erupted because people always are going to disagree with any point that you make, really. So they decided enough was enough of hearing just one side of the story. They wanted their side to be heard, to be known. So yeah.
What are some of the reasons that you think protesting Black Americans and non-their Black allies are angry about these conditions in the United States?
I think they're angry about the United States because nothing's being done. As I was speaking about before, it's a systematic change that needs to be done, but obviously that's not, as I keep continuing to say, it's unfortunately not going to be done anytime soon, because the people that are in a position right now continue to make promises, such as the president and the vice president. I'm not saying they should make a huge change so fast, but I feel like the promises that they upheld, that they were going to really change America so much, aren't going to be upheld, and no big change is really going to be made to what's going on. So yeah, it's just going to be small changes, which is still change, but what we really need is a big change in this entire government system.
Do you believe there are issues with the criminal justice system in the United States that have helped flame these protests?
I would say yes. As another thing that's been on my mind lately, that I've been seeing on the news as well, is how many places have begun to legalize marijuana, but all the people who are locked up because of that continue to just like be stuck in jail, really, which is yet another unfortunate thing. And I feel like many African Americans are wrongly incriminated, and they don't get a fair shot at when they're in trial. Just sad to say.
When do you become aware of those issues?
I became aware of these issues during Black Lives Matter in like the past year, from all the injustices that have happened. So yeah, it's really unfortunate that we have so many examples to share on the injustices with African American people today. And it's really crazy that all these things continue to happen, and that it's still a problem we need to speak about. Is they're just people, just all anyone really wants to do is just live peaceful, but unfortunately, a lot of people don't have that liberty, they don't have that option, and they get stuck in situations such as George Floyd, such as Eric Garner, such as the ones that happened this recent week. It's very unfortunate that many of these people are stuck in a situation where they really have no other option but just to suffer, because people aren't trained well, they don't understand what they're doing, and yeah, it's just really crazy how everything's going on.
How has these changes has been made?
How so much change has been made? Like, for the people, but systematically and with the government, not much has been done. So it's just very interesting to see how the two sides play a part and how they're still polar opposite.
Thank you for taking your time off and answering my questions, and hopefully have a good day, and see you later.
So, yeah, thank you.